Father, we thank you for your precious word, and Lord, I like to make light of it on occasions and look for some humor, and it isn't always right. So thank you, Lord, that you brought me up short on that, and I trust the ladies will forgive me for that. I pray now as we get into your word again that you will take the Antichrist and make it clear to us, and especially make it clear that we will not know him. And we'll just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're looking at the last world dictator. I really thought about that all week. I thought, this is the last fellow that's going to run things or try to run things. So we've moved to Antiochus Epiphanes into the time of the end, where the following events that Daniel predicted occurred. Can you imagine? This is way before Christ was ever born, and he's seen these visions. First the rise of the Antichrist, then the tribulation wars, and idolatry, and invasions, and Armageddon. And especially, you must remember that all those things we studied in Revelation, the bowls being poured out and the horses riding, that is all from God Almighty. That's judgment. And this is why we have to be out of the way. And I hope you go home today and look over that chart that was handed out to you today, and that you will look up those verses if you want to argue about anything. I am not going to apologize next week. Anyway, let me find where we're at. Daniel. But don't you just love this man? He's an amazing, amazing guy. Well, we looked at the 70 weeks of Daniel back in chapter 9, and we found out only 69 of them had been gone through, or played out, however you want to say it. But there's a last week out, and that's the tribulation. The event that will trigger the beginning of that last week is the signing of the covenant with Israel by this powerful leader in the 10-nation confederacy in Europe. Apparently, the reason for the covenant seems to be to protect the nation of Israel. And then I've been stewing over that all week. And I'll give you my two bits worth. You don't need to listen. Put your fingers in your ears if you want. But I've come to kind of the conclusion that fellow would have to be a Muslim, because he's going right into Muslim territory to give okay to the Israelis to build their temple. And how will we do that without starting World War III? So I've been kind of thinking that might be really true. He's going to give them protection while the Jews rebuild their temple. The tribulation period will, and with the return of Christ, it'll be over and done with. Isn't that a great thought? That Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet, they'll all put into the lake of fire. Now, why haven't we studied the false prophet? Well, that is simply because it's not in Daniel. So you can make a study of it yourself if you want to. It's very interesting. It's the unholy trinity. Satan is God the Father. Antichrist is God the Son. And the false prophet is the Holy Spirit. The unholy trinity, they'll all be done away with. I hope you liked the way the lesson ended this week. It was a yahoo. Well, the Antichrist doesn't suddenly appear on the scene to assume leadership of the world. He's that small horn that comes up in Europe, and nobody thinks too much about him except for the fact he can do miracles. And he has answers for mankind's terrible things that they're getting into. It was interesting. Charlotte Schmidt said, there is a 10-nation coalition, and that's among the Arab countries. And I don't know if that can squeeze in there or not, but I'll just give you something to worry about. No, something to think about. He begins, remember, the Antichrist begins as a man of peace. He'll solve the Arab-Israeli problems. He'll be a master politician. He'll bring peace for Israel. And gradually, his evil design towards the world will be revealed. And in the middle of the 7 years, the middle of that missing week, he will break the covenant with Israel and go into the temple and set himself up as God. I think it's at that time that Israel is like, oops, we got the wrong person. He is not our Messiah. And he will arrogantly exalt himself, and he has no religious faith. He will have a successful career until Jesus Christ returns. Yahoo! Now remember, God the Father allows this. If the Antichrist states the phrase, the God of his fathers, does not mean that he'll be Jewish. Not necessarily. Now, I've been a Christian a long time now, and in my early years I always thought he had to be Jewish for the people to accept him, especially the Israelis. So, but now that I've thought about it, some he could be a Muslim or whatever, but he's not religious, except for one thing. So over the years, he's often been with, they've made decisions with non-Jewish leaders, so I don't think he has to be Jewish. Anyway, I'll let you decide that. The Lord, if you say, well, I know who he is, then I'll say, oh, that's too bad, you've been left behind. So if you're missing some of your friends, there's still time. The Antichrist rejects all religious things, except he promotes himself as God. Startling. He will oppose especially the Jewish religion. His God is the God of might and military power. How do I know that? Because it says that he exalts fortresses. Well, how do you get that out of that? Well, it just means that he's got this military drive. Why? Because he wants to take over the world. Well, when the people of the world worship the man of sin, they're actually worshiping Satan. And the one who empowers the Antichrist will reward those, this would be the false prophet, who worship him and manufacture God. He will set up an image of himself in the temple, so when he's not there, you can go in and worship the image. So the Antichrist breaks covenant halfway through, and you've had that several different ways, and he seizes the temple and sets himself as this world dictator, a God figure. And we call this the abomination of desolation. Now, I don't know if he's going to sacrifice some pigs in there or not. It's possible, but I just think here is this holy place that the Jews so highly worship, and he goes in there and sets himself up. That's an abomination of desolation. So Daniel wrote about it, and Jesus referred to it in the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70-week. He'll usher in a time of terrible suffering. Let me read that to you by Matthew 24:21. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been seen or been since the beginning of the world until this time. Now, anybody that thinks they're going through that, I just feel for them. It'd be just terrible, because this is God pouring judgment out on this earth. So the Lord warns us about it. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And he goes on to say, anybody says, look, here is the Christ, don't go out after him. Not good. So I remember when we studied Revelation and those bowls were poured out, and then the horses, they were different colors representing death and famine and so on. And again, this is why would the Lord pour out that wrath on his children? Doesn't make any sense. Besides, we're going to be in the way. They'll say, if he makes any move, we'll say, well, we know about that. Well, we know about that. This is called, and you'll need this for next week, the time of Jacob's trouble. And God is dealing with the nation of Israel. This terrible time will be when the Antichrist will have war against the Jewish people. But Michael the Archangel comes in here, and he's been assigned to take care of the Jewish people, and he will come to their aid. So remember, he's come to Gabriel's aid, and it's hard for me to believe that one angel could handle that all. But God's elect people will be preserved, which will include that 144,000 and who have been sealed by the Lord. Any others? Yeah, there, I think people will come to the Lord during that time. I don't think you'll live if you do, but because the Antichrist will want to get rid of you. But God will keep his covenant with Abraham and make sure that the Jewish remnant will enter into the promised kingdom. It'll be a very exciting time for those who've become believers. When the Antichrist moves into the land of Israel and sets up his image in the Jewish temple and declares to everyone, he's the ruler and the God of this world. Can you imagine? But a lot of things are going to point to that. He's going to have a mortal head wound and rise from that. He's going to do miracles. And the statue he puts into the temple, it'll be able to talk. And can you imagine? People will follow after that. And this is where we as Christians have to remember, we don't have faith by sight. Sight doesn't help us in our faith. And it's by hearing the word of God. That's what helps us with following Christ. So this is where you and I need to practice, because we could really mess it up pretty good. Well, then the kings of the north come down and the kings of the south, and they go right into the land of the Jews. And a lot of people feel this is the battle that's described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's a growing army. Do you realize today that the largest army on the earth is China? China has the largest army. And then Russia is right behind her. And then Egypt will come up. So it's going to be pretty bloody. I remember someplace in Scripture that we studied, it takes 7 months, I think, to bury the dead. So that might be an atomic warfare where they can't go in until that's taken out. So if anybody wants that, I'll look it up this week. And of course, it all ends with the Battle of Armageddon, when the world turns against the Jews. But guess who's coming?
Jesus.
Yes. Well, for 3.5 years, though, the nations will submit to the Antichrist rule. And but there's a growing dislike and opposition, even as he works to energize people. I love these verses in Zechariah that I remember the first time I read these, someplace 14:1-3, and it speaks about the future. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city will go into captivity, but the remnant of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against the nations as he fights in a day of battle. And it goes on, but I want to flop over here, because this I think is so beautiful. You know, when the Lord comes, the other day I was driving home and there's these big billowing white clouds, and I thought, that's just the way the Lord's going to come. I said, okay, Lord, today be fine. But he'll break into this atmosphere and it'll create clouds. In Zechariah 12:10, it says that I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they've pierced. Can you imagine? All these years have gone by. And yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieves for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And in that day there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem. And on it goes. But I think that's really neat too, because that's another prophet saying the same thing that Daniel has given us. And I like it a lot. Right now, Ezekiel 38 and 39 would be a good couple of chapters to read. It all ties in here together. And if you're curious about Revelations, go ahead and read it. It doesn't take long to read Revelations. You may not understand it all, but you can read it. So, anyway, the Antichrist will come to his end. No one will help him. Did you find that kind of odd? When the whole world's behind him, then suddenly no one's going to help him. I thought that was kind of interesting. I believe what they'll do is they'll look at him and realize he's not their Messiah. And as, you know, he comes from heaven, they recognize him. Especially because his hands are pierced. And his side, that will never go away through eternity. Well, at that time they'll turn to him, Israel, and the nation will be cleansed. And I could give you very, very many more verses on that. And then the Lord will come back and he'll step down on the Mount of Olives. Now, a lot of you have gone and seen the Mount of Olives. But when Jesus steps down on it, it'll cleave in two. There'll be a great earthquake. And that's when Jerusalem will rise. And that's when I believe the Ezekiel's temple will be built. Anyway, you are free to argue with me at any time. No tomatoes today, though. The Father's promises is to fulfill the Son, Jesus, when he receives his kingdom. He will have a kingdom on this earth. My thought is, when I was going through this, that some of you are still hanging on to the fact that you feel that you're going to go through the tribulation. And I just want to guarantee you that will not happen. And I gave you a handout today as the rapture on one side and the return of Christ on the other. And I'm just going to go through it because it's so important. And I've given you verses for all of this. The rapture is Christ will come in the air. And the return, Christ will come to earth. Then Christ comes for his saints in the rapture. Hopefully that's all of us. And the second return, Christ comes with his saints, that's us, to touch down on earth. And then the rapture is the believers depart from the earth. And you'll find the verses here, and unbelievers are taken away with the second coming of the Lord. Christ comes in the rapture to claim his bride. We're his bride. Be ready. And then when he returns to come touch down, Christ comes with his bride. And in the rapture again, Christ gathers his own, and but the second return, the angels gather the elect. How they fit in, I don't know. You're going to have to wait and see. Because Maybe they'll have different colored robes. I don't know. But then when he comes back, he gathers his own, and the angels gather. And then Christ comes to reward. So what you've done in him, you will stand before the Lord, and he'll say, well done, that good and faithful servant. You've been obedient to me. And if you haven't, you might have a few tears. But then the return of the second coming, he comes to judge. And that won't be a good time. Okay, the rapture, there's no signs at all. It's imminent. And but his return, the second coming, has many signs. It is a time of blessing and comfort when the rapture comes. And with the second return, it's a time of destruction and judgment. And then the rapture involves believers only. And the second return involves Israel and Gentile nations. And then it will occur in a moment, and the time it takes to blink your eye, that's how fast the rapture will be. And only his own will see him. And then it will be, the return of the second coming will be visible to the entire world. And then on the rapture, that's when the tribulation begins. There could be some leeway there, I don't know. And then for his return, the millennium begins. There's one chapter in Revelation that talks about the millennium about five different ways. And so don't rule it out because somebody has told you something else. The Lord is going to rule here on earth for 1,000 years. Well, then in the rapture, Christ comes as the bright morning star, and the return of coming is Christ comes to the Son of Righteousness, as the Son of Righteousness. I like that. And I thought, for those that think they're going to go through the tribulation, then your argument is with these verses. I think the same fellow said they're, well, it's down below, but he says that he doesn't see the rapture in the Old Testament, and but it's predicted often in the New Testament. It's not in the Old Testament. Predicted often in should be the New Testament. But I did want to let you know. I think it's there in the Old Testament. How about Enoch? Enoch walked with the Lord, and he was taken. How about Noah? Noah and his family were taken. They were taken out before the judgment. And I believe those are two examples in the Old Testament. There's also a prophet that gets taken out, living, and taken home to be with the Lord. So that's the only place here I would disagree with this. But trust me, you're not going to go through it. Because think of it this way. God is dealing with the nation of Israel. Now, most of us say, well, why would he bother? After all, they put him on the cross. No, they did not put him on the cross. Our sins put him on the cross. And we've got to come to grips with that. And Israel didn't accept him as a nation. They didn't accept him. So they have to go through this, and then they'll realize, you know, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's our Messiah. I think that'll be such an exciting day. But if Jesus paid for your sin and mine on the cross, then why would he put you through further judgment during the tribulation? That doesn't make any sense at all. As I say, I think the Antichrist is going to feel free to be able to do whatever he wants because he doesn't want us to interrupt him, and we'd be saying, well, we know about you. You do this and you do that, and other than killing you off, I don't see any need to be there. But be ready to receive him. Our sins have been dealt for forever. And just hang on to this handout. It's good verses to look up. And it's by Mark Hitchcock. Anyway, don't tell me who the Antichrist is, because then I'll feel real bad that you got left behind. But examine your heart. Are you in the Lord? Do you know that he died for your sins on the cross? Are you his child? Now, maybe you don't have a whole lot to show for your life, but you've been a prayer warrior. You've visited people that have had tough times. And or you've given money, and the Lord remembers all of that. And you'll be rewarded for it someday. He's not going to put you through hell on earth. But he has a purpose for the nation of Israel. But they will be his. And you and I are grafted in, and one day we'll serve the Lord all together. If we need, you can talk to Daniel and say, How was it? And he'll tell me that you blew it, Liz. You should have done a better job with Daniel. Or say, ask your husband these questions, because the Bible was written to men. And I've been amazed what my husband's come up with from time to time. Where do you get that? Where do you get that? So we have a good time over it. Father, we thank you again for your precious word. It is a light to our feet. It's a light to our mind. And you want us to dwell in you and have our salvation in you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that has not made that step, is trusting in their religion, or trusting in the way they were brought up, or trusting in something other than the blood of Christ shed for our sins on Calvary, then bring them to their knees today before it's too late, because we know the rapture could happen at any time, and we want to be ready. And if there's anyone not ready, that help them to come to grips with that. Thank you that you are a loving God. You don't go after our sins. You forgive them. And it's white clean, and that we can become your child. What a delightful thought that is, and that we are then grafted in to the nation of Israel. Heaven on earth will be wonderful. And then after that, it'll be even greater. It'll be even funner. So bless these ladies, Lord. Help their burdens to be small in comparison to what you've done, and how much you love them, and how much you want to encourage them. And we need that help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.